Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Lori. Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you this day to our worship. And for those on radio or future podcast, we greet you from Our Savior Lutheran Port Huron, Michigan. And as we begin, this is the Sunday before Reformation Sunday. Real quick, let me say it to you. Wear red next week.
Oh, yes.
It's like Pentecost. Wear red. So next week, please wear red. We gather this day, and I hope you'll keep in mind, let me give you three names that are on our prayer list. Donna Taylor, as you know, has been on for a few weeks dealing with medical issues. Tomorrow she has an important test. It should have been done Thursday, but it got bumped back till Monday. So remember Donna. Then added to the list over the weekend, I found out about Joe Coulthard. They're, I'm sure, listening to this broadcast. They are back south into Port Huron, and they were up at their cabin last weekend, and he developed breathing difficulties, so went to a hospital there, was transferred down here to Port Huron by ambulance, no less, from Grayling, and so was there for a few days, now is home. So Joe is home with his dear wife, Elvira, here in town. Then along with that is Lisa Slider. Lisa called me last evening. She has undergone one procedure at U of M for a stent in her leg to keep the blood flow better. And then she'll go in Friday for a surgical procedure for a valve of her heart. So if you'll remember her in your prayer. So that's Joe Coulthard, Lisa Slider. We celebrate Eucharist this day, as we will next week with Reformation. So if you'll please rise, our service will begin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the strength of our ancestors, the host of this meal, the builder of the city that is to come. Amen. If we've died with Christ, we will also live with Christ. Let us confess our sin to the one who is faithful. So God, our helper, we confess the many ways we have failed to live as your disciples. We have not finished what we began. We have feasted with friends but ignored strangers. We have been captivated by our possessions. Lift our burdens, gracious God. Refresh our hearts and forgive our sin. Raise us to new life you have chosen for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. Put your trust in these promises. God will never leave you, and God will never forsake you. You were lost, now you have been found. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, our sins have been forgiven. Rejoice with the angels at that good news. Amen. Entrance hymn, O God, our help. In ages past, we sing.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hymn of praise this day is songs of thankfulness and praise. We'll sing first and last verses, please. 1 and 4. The Lord be with you. If you'll join me in the prayer for the day, we'll pray together. O Lord God, tireless guardian of your people, you are always ready to hear our cries. Teach us to rely day and night on your care. Inspire us to seek your enduring justice for all the suffering world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we hear the word of God. So, first reading by Kathy Cole.
The first reading comes from the book of Genesis, Chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. This is the word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kathy. Second reading, substituting, is Jane Borntrager.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Paul continues his instruction of Timothy, his younger colleague in ministry,
by emphasizing the importance of faithful teaching despite opposition. Our second reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, various verses. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with the sound doctrine, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jean. If you are able to stand, we rise for the gospel. We speak together the acclamation, top of page 9. Alleluia. The word of God is living and active, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Alleluia. Gospel reading for this day, Luke 18th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable. It was about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. So he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor did he ever have respect for his people. It was in that city that a widow kept coming to the judge, saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, this judge just refused her. But later, he said to himself, though I don't fear God, I don't really respect people, yet because this woman keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out with constantly coming to my home. The Lord said, listen to what that unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. As I do, I'd like to walk you through the last 3 years preaching from all three lessons because they were selected because there's a common theme, and it's the theme that the people of God need to hear every fourth year. So in the lectionary, that's the way it works. And if you like to follow the sermon outline, I highlight verses that are from each of the three texts. Overarching theme is that you and I have been called, you and I have been named by God. You may not have heard the voice, but in the action, perhaps if you were baptized as a child, your parents and those around understood the importance of bringing their child to the house of God, having them baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and promising to raise their child in the faith of Jesus Christ. We were called. We were named. We were marked. And the cross of Christ was placed upon our foreheads for an eternal covenant, if we live within it. So, in the first reading, always the Old Testament, a except during the season of Easter. Genesis 32. On Wednesday mornings for the last 4 weeks, our Bible study group on Wednesday mornings, 10:30, where the group chose the topic, overcoming anger and dealing with the life of Joseph of the Old Testament. I hope you can remember some things from your readings of Scripture, from Sunday schools and years gone by. Joseph is a primary figure in the book of Genesis. And when we studied it, we looked at the preceding genealogy, right? That's the big thing today. Everybody wants to know where you came from. Stork? Or from, where did that kid come from? Who are they emulating? Who have been models for them in their life? Well, if you looked at the closet of Joseph, you'd see he came from rather shady people. All the way back to Abraham. Abraham has received a promise from God, Genesis 12. He went to a promised land, and when he was there, he moved over to Egypt, and there he lied to Pharaoh because he was afraid God would not protect his wife and his life. So he said, my wife is my sister, in case Pharaoh had a roving eye. And so he starts his career with the Lord, already not trusting God's promise. He grows up, he matures, no doubt about it. And then you come along with Isaac, and then you come along with the preceders of Joseph. When it comes to the character of this text, Jacob, as his father Isaac is dying, his mother and Jacob plot that they would get the blessing for him being second in line, second of a twin, Esau. Does that name ring a bell for you? And Esau was planned to inherit everything of the father's estate before dad died. That's the way it should have flowed. But Rebekah and Jacob, they say, well, I'll put on a skin of an animal. I'll feel like my brother. My dad's blind. That'll give him a smell of something from the outdoors. Hairy, like my brother was hairy. So he's an imposter. He fraud. And fraudulently got the family blessing. Oh, is that the way to build the family of God? Jacob. But when Jacob is out there running from his brother Esau, this is where the drama begins and heightens. He goes to his mother's brother, Laban, and there he works for him. He sees two daughters that he had his eye on, but it wasn't Leah. It was Rebekah. So he makes a covenant, a contract with his father, and make father-in-law to be, that he would work 7 faithful years as an indigent servant if he could have the daughter's hand. He should have written it on a contract, because he got a daughter's hand, but it wasn't the one he loved, Rachel. It was Leah. He says, you fooled me. You tricked me. Is that any different than what you did to your brother? So he says, okay, work 7 more years. I'll give you the woman you wanted, Rebekah. He worked 7 more years. Then he runs for his life to get away from him, because Laban wanted him to stay on the content of the land, manage it for him when he dies. That wasn't to be in Jacob's plan. He was going to go back home. He didn't want to be with this conniver. That's where the story is. So he takes his 2 wives, 2 maids, 11 children. He crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them, sent them across the stream, likewise, everything he had. He's on the run from his father-in-law, twice removed. Jacob was left alone. He sees a man. Some Bible translations and older traditions would say this person was God. Obviously, he says, I have wrestled with God and I have prevailed. But if you look throughout Scripture, it's very consistent. Nobody's ever seen God, not even Moses, let alone this Jacob, who's a chiseler and a fraud. He wasn't seeing God, but he saw somebody God sent. He wrestled with them all night. They were probably exhausted. When morning came, Jacob says, "Now give me a promise. I'm not going to release you till I get your name and a promise." He says, "Well, your name is going to be Israel. This is the name that will be borne by the people of God, even to this day." It's that recognition that from these roots, all the way back to Abraham and the history of Genesis, now comes Jacob, now surnamed Israel. And consequently, he carries the blessing for God to the world. In that experience, we call those, if it was God or a reflection of God, a theophany. Ever hear that word? It's a revelation of God. Theos, God. Theophany, revelation, showing, manifestation of God. I dare say, in many ways, even though we have not seen the face of God, we have had theophanies in life. Think about it. When God became more than just a word, when God manifested or revealed himself that this is who I am and this is who you are and this is how we're coming together. This is you, the call, the name, the purpose of life. Rick Warren, what is the purpose of life? The purpose-driven life. When that experience takes place for any one of us, it's a theophany. God's moment in our life. Maybe we were going one direction and God said, course correction, we're turning around. For me, it was from the call to ministry throughout my life I have experienced God. I hope you have as well. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to make God real, not just a word, in the understanding that God wants a personal relationship with all his followers. First reading, Genesis. Go to the second reading, Timothy. For the last 5 weeks, the readings have been dealing with a pastor, Paul, teaching his friend, Timothy, how to be a pastor. All the passages are relevant to any one of us who walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. But here is the text, which is personal to me, because in the last verses, let me read them for you. I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Don't be shaken by the conditions. Convince, rebuke, encourage, with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their desires, who play for them, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. For you, always be sober. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist and carry out your ministry fully. To you, they're just words. To me, they were the words at my ordination. This is what Lutheran pastors hear, and this is what is expected of us in ministry. Now, the ELCA has changed words and nomenclature, but don't let that fool you. Consider it, I think, they can change it to Rose by any other name, still Rose. I'm a minister of Word and Sacrament, I think, is the new name for me. And there's Ministry of Word and Service, which are the deacons, okay? But Word and Sacrament, that is the key of what the called are for. At the beginning, though, has been something that has been a question, but we know and we affirm it. All Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching. Scripture is not just a word, it is the word. For reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Please notice the encompassing plural here. This is for all believers, for all of us to treasure the Word of God, not as a museum piece and an artifact, but rather the living food that feeds the soul.
Unfortunately, in any given day, in any other denomination, all of us, a number of our adults figured their instruction as a youth, whether it's confirmation, CCD, or whatever we called that, when that was done, it was done, right? We got it all. When I hear people say, I don't need to go to adult classes, I don't need to study the word more, I say, then you're qualified to be a Sunday school teacher. If you think you know it all, and you surplant going to seminary, wow, we've got a genius. Let's take advantage of that. But in fact, we just use it as a way to discount and bluff off, I don't want to do it, I'm not inspired, I don't find it interesting, and they're not talking what I want to study. Okay? Let's name the beast. God's word is holy. It's not just a word, it is the word that brings life. This morning on the Gaithers, 5 a.m., I watch it every week. Amy Grant was on singing what we have sung a couple weeks ago, Thy Word. Oh, that just gives me chills. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a guide unto my path. Understanding that you don't listen to the propaganda out there in the world, you don't listen to CNN, you don't listen to all the major things, Fox News, whatever it is, the word that defines truth from false is the word of God. And understanding what is right is not going to be told to you by a commentator. It'll be told to you by God's word and your faithful instruction in that word. That's what Paul says is designed for each of us as believers and for those in ministry. The third lesson, the gospel, Luke 18. There goes Jesus spinning another tale. He's talking about forgiveness and he's talking about being open to prayers. In the course of life, how many times you've said or maybe I've said, and I know a lot of parishioners have said in my career, you know, I prayed so often. I put the cause before God, and I really was trusting God, but I didn't get what I asked for. Just want to remind people, it's yes, no, and wait. Those are the three choices. But God answers all. It's just like you get an email, and you want to reply, but you say, they should know. Yeah. So too, with God, God does hear, and he will respond. Not always the way we choose. And I've been with people who have asked me to pray with them that they should die. Take them out of this pain. I've been with people who pray like one sliding down a ravine, pray that I might live. I'm not a wizard. I'm not a person who knows the future, but I know the God to whom we pray. And I'm willing to bet that my prayers, your prayers, everybody's prayers are heard before God. Don't try to scientifically analyze them. And how many requests does he get per second? And da 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 da. Come on. God hears our requests. And even when you don't know how to pray, Paul says in the scriptures, he says, even groaning, and you don't know what to say, but you're hurting, God hears it. And moans and groans, he hears your request. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us so that God understands our plight. You see, we don't pray to get God's attention like this nasty judge, right? That's what Jesus is trying to say. After being badgered by this woman who's a pain in you know what, he says, well, may as well give her a little trinket of what she wants, but I'm still the judge, not her, and my power is supreme. But God hears, God knows, God cares. But God sees a different perspective than our little microcosm about how all the pieces fit together. And we get frustrated because we're not God. He's not dancing to our tune. But understand, God is faithful. He always has been. If you doubt it, read the scriptures. you will see God is faithful. Not always getting what we want or request, but getting what is right and just for us. It's a trail for many centuries, millennium, between the days of the Old Testament book of Genesis, Jacob's life, feeling like he's in command, he just defeated an agent of God, and he requests that he do something for him, so he gets a blessing. You shall be my people, Israel. The point of Paul saying we have a responsibility, mind up to the task. Do the work of an evangelist, proclaim Christ to the world, because this world is sinking and will be flushed down the toilet. It will be burned to a crisp, and a new age shall begin. In the gospel, it's reminding us that as we go through turmoil and trouble, don't give up. Be persistent in your prayers. Paul was. You know the situation of Paul, 1 Corinthians. I prayed 3 times to the Lord, take away this thorn of my flesh, and he just said no. Because my power is realized in your weakness. And Paul discovered that God is there even at the bottom of a pit. For God does not abandon his children. May the God of peace, the God who cares, far different than the other world's gods, sustain us in our life's journey. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day, which is There is a Balm in Gilead, page 11.
Thank you.
We affirm together as the people of God our faith in Father, Son, and Spirit. Please rise. We confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers as led by Marcia.
Knowing the one in whom we trust, and with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all in need. Faithful partner, you will not leave us without a blessing. Wrestle with your church and renew it for the sake of the world. Preserve our life in you so that we faithfully name you before the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us joy in these autumn days. As the daylight shortens and summer's green abundance decays, scatter the seeds that will bring forth new life in the spring. Keep watch over your whole creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful, extend your ancient promises to all people. Keep and defend the nations from all evil and be their shade and protection. Help in your steadfast love, guide the human family in ways of mercy and justice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our help comes from you, maker of heaven and earth. Hear the cries of those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. And we remember in our prayers today, Jarrett Lucas, Bev Chittister, Patricia May, Maria Romp, Donna Taylor, Marilyn Wright, Crystal Lewis, Lori Parker's cousin, Donna Winter, Shirley McLean, Joel Kohlhart, Lisa Slider, and we ask that you would comfort the family of Derek and Elizabeth Kilborn with the death of their aunt. We remember and pray for those serving our nation, both here at home and overseas, including Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Solier, and Faye Wright. We also pray for our first responders. Protect them, Lord, as they serve and protect us. And help us not to lose heart so that your healing love prevails in our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Speak through us in our encounters with Holy Scripture. Hearten and strengthen ministers of faith formation so that all who belong to you may be capable and equipped for good works in your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for your grace made manifest in the saints who have gone before us. Living in hope, bring us all to the joyful feast that has no end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Trusting and delighting in you, we commend all of our lives into your loving hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of Christ Church. For those who have been tracking the publications we put out through e-letter, through bulletin, through newsletter, I promoted for 2+ months having an event that's called Dutch Treaters. I've seen them in all the communities where I've pastored across this country. It's a group for singles, for couples, generally without children, so it's adult conversation. And we get together for our purposes once a month. So today is our launch. And we've got about 7 or 8 people that have signed up. If you are interested, we are going to Denny's restaurant this time. That does not mean we'll always be there. I will look at whatever our members suggest for options for going out to eat, places maybe you couldn't go by yourself, but you wanted to go to. It's safe to go with us as a group. That's why we did our trips down to the Smokies, to Canada, all kinds of things we did together. So that it's kind of safety and security and comfort and familiarity when we're together. So this time it's at Denny's. They're expecting us at 12:45. I asked them for reservations for 8. So if you'd like to join the pack, please speak to me so I can forewarn them to set up tables for us. We're going to be in the back room as much as we can be private. So that starts today. So that means the third Sunday of every month. That takes away one coffee hour that we're not doing. So it's still to continue with fellowship in the breaking of bread together as the body of Christ. So if you can plan on November 3rd Sunday, we will do it again. I'll listen to people as suggestions for meals. I'm not saying what it'll be until I hear the suggestions. Okay. So that's something we start today, Dutch Treaters. The prayers I told you at the beginning of the service, if you've just tuned in during the service, Joe Coulthard, Lisa Slater, we raise up, as well as Donna Taylor, continuing with some more testing this week for her. Kind of bring you up to date with some of the things in your now. I should also mention our radio sponsorship has been by our anonymous donor of over a decade, virtually 2 decades, to this radio ministry of our Savior, which is in its 81st year. So he joined with us in supporting us back in the 60 years of our broadcast ministry. And we thank him sincerely for that support that enables this service and the podcast. I haven't been there lately, but last time I was on the podcast of WPHM.net, you'll see every service for the last 3 years. Is that incredible? That's better than Memorex. And they are all hanging out there in the cyber world. For anybody but even yourself, if you missed one or something spoke to you, the whole service, special music, whatever it is, you can find it on WPHM.net. And we appreciate that service. Flowers on the Altar, made and beautified on the altar, is a gift of Tony Gaines. She is doing the option we wanted to clarify a few weeks ago. If you didn't want to purchase flowers because you had no use for them after the service, you may donate to the Memorial Fund, the $30 charge, and then we'll put out the flowers. Just so happens she made them. So those are on the altar. And we thank you, Tony, for that gift of flowers. There's many things going on in the lives of our people. I think you know that. One of the dates that's now in motion, it will be a historical chicken and biscuit luncheon for our holiday bazaar. So the gals have put together a card. Copies were sitting, the cards cut up by Doug, sitting on the office desk for Donna to pick up today, I'm sure. Then they'll be distributed to all of you who are crafters to pass out to the whole community. Advertising that Saturday of November 16th. Chicken and biscuits. We worked on the menu this week, working with the crafters and my committee of doing with Judy and with Tony and a few others. We will put together a delicious meal for you. You can certainly advertise it. Cost or donation is $6. You're going to get chicken and biscuits. You're going to get coleslaw. You're going to get cranberries. Jelly? What do they call the cranberries? I don't eat it. Gel. Okay, good, got it right. And then there'll be pies and then your beverage for $6. So please support it. One of the things every year when I'm downstairs, whether I'm cooking or just being part of the gals, the crafters, is how few of our own members attend. So let's name the elephant in the room. Please promote it. Please come yourself and bring people with you to that Saturday. It's from 9:30 in the morning to 2:30. Meals between 11 and 1 in the center of that time. Many other things and details. Encourage you to read the e-letter. If you're not getting it, give me your email address. We're not hiding from anybody. And as the offering is brought forward, I'll ask you to rise. We're going to see Sing Sanctuary, page 15, two times. Lori's at the piano.
Let us pray. God, our provider, we bring nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. Accept the gifts you have first given us, which we bring to your table, and with them the offering of our lives. Nourish us now with the life that really is life, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." So it's with this bread and with this cup we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God invites you to this table of bounty, so come. The banquet is ready. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" during the distribution. you'll please rise. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bless and keep you now and forever.
Amen. Amen. God, a blessing. At this table, we have seen you face to face, and in the gift of Christ's body and blood, our hearts have been refreshed. Send us now to shine with your goodness and bear witness to the one we have received, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen. Before the blessing, remind those on the nominating committee, we meet after this service in the classroom across from my office. Now hear the blessing God sends to us. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Almighty God, bless you with grace, mercy, and peace, now and forever. Amen. We sing verses 1, 3, and 5, so the odd verse is a hymn of glory. Let us sing.
Go in peace. Christ is sending you. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.